Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It's one of my favorite times of the month, of course, because from early on, we have our good friend Jane Paul. Jane, welcome back to In Focus.
Oh, you're always so good for my ego, Bob. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Of course, we like to talk early childhood education. And when we talk early childhood education, we're not just talking about the kids. We're talking about the parents as well, aren't we?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, whatever we do and how we are coping in life affects everybody around us.
Now, you bring up a really interesting topic this time around. You wanted to talk about the shoulds. Now, maybe you can explain for our listeners what the shoulds are.
Sure. So I'm gonna step you back just a little bit.
Sure.
Today is about resiliency, and you're right, shoulds are such a huge part of that. But I got a couple of questions for you. So, I mean, we're coming up to that time of year where there's so many celebrations. I read somewhere, I forget how many celebrations there are between now and the end of January, depending on how you celebrate life. And I mean, I absolutely love celebrating, especially when it is family time, right? I love getting together with our family. Food is a huge part of things, but it also comes with a lot of stress in there, right? I mean, there's so many expectations that we have built up around these times that it can be very stressful for us. So I find it a difficult time of year as well. So I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Tell me, you know, you're coming up to your celebration times. Tell me something that you really love about it.
I really love making breakfast for the entire family on Christmas morning.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yes. I really do. Like we go all out and make just this huge breakfast, and then whoever's around enjoys it. And we always have tons of breakfast leftovers, but it's just a lot of fun to do. And, you know, we never know who we're going to have from year to year, but yeah, I definitely look forward to that.
Yeah. And sharing food is such a bonding time. It's such an intimate time for families, right? It really does bring us together. Okay. Anything that you really stress over, I guess, when it comes to those types of things.
Who's coming to breakfast?
Right.
It's a matter of, quite honestly, with my stepkids being the ages that they are, we never know until sort of last minute. We're planners, and they definitely are not. So we never know until last minute what's going to happen. And that, to me, just having those sort of plans up in the air, that kind of makes things a little bit harder to deal with.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the differences in the way people come at what they're doing. So shoulds, now I'll explain it for you.
Okay.
Shoulds are those things that we drag with us everywhere we go. They're there are thoughts and beliefs about how we feel, how we think, how we behave, and they're also about how we think others should feel, think, and behave. So shoulds are those sort of unwritten rules that tend to come up for us that make us choose our path through life. Does that make sense for you?
Yep.
Okay, so holidays and celebrations are just filled with shoulds. And sometimes we don't even know where they come from, right? If they are our belief system, sometimes they're so ingrained in our past that we're not even sure why they're there. I mean, we have those same things. Like I said, food is a big part of our family celebration, getting together, who's bringing what. But all those stresses around it, you know, who's coming, who do we invite, you know, have we included everybody? Even when it comes, I mean, we celebrate Christmas here. So when it comes to buying presents, we were talking about this last night, Wayne and I. And, you know, are we putting enough thought into it? You know, what do we get for this person? What do we get for that person? Where can we get it at this time? We have stuff that is coming from BC because we have a lot of family out there that is now held up because of the floods out there, right? There's no roads for Canada Post to get them through on.
Yeah.
So all of these different things, some of these things we can control, some of these things we can look at and make choices about, and some are outside our control. So shoulds are those types of things. They can come from our upbringing. They can come from things in our past. So maybe we call it our parenting map, right? How we were raised, how our parents gave us, you know, their thoughts about morals and ethics and things. Some of those shoulds are so deeply buried in the past that we're not even, don't even know that they're there. but they crop up at times when we're choosing what we want to do, how we want to handle things. And these things, these thoughts pop into our heads about, oh, I really need to do that. And that's what a should is. I should do this. I should invite that person. I should make sure I'm spending enough time here and here and here. And that's what shoulds are all about. We drag them with us like a garbage bag behind us, right? They come with us wherever we go. And so I just wanted to give people pause for thought as we're coming into our season of celebration, to take and try and be, take a moment and try and be aware of some of the shoulds that you have in your life. Are they serving you? Are they helpful? Because shoulds tend to limit our thinking. They tend to be unhelpful beliefs that we carry on with just because. So I have a story. And this came from my mom, and I've told it so many times now that I don't even know if it's a real family story or whether she pulled it out from somewhere else, but we've embraced it as our own anyway. Mom tells a story about cooking ham at Christmas time. And she would get a ham out and she would immediately chop off one end and chop off the other end and then put it in the pot, do whatever else she did with it, and roast it. And we would have this beautiful ham for supper. So as I became an adult, I said to her, you know, like, Mom, why, you know, what's with this chopping off the ends of the ham? Like, what difference does that make? Does it let the juices out? You know, does it let the flavor in? You know, what's going on? And she looked at me and she said, gee, I don't know. My mom always did that. So she went back and asked Nana, you know, why did you chop off the ends of the ham? She said, well, I only had a small pot and the ham was too big. So, I mean, obviously my mom and I don't need to do that. Our pots are a good size, but we've always done it. So that's an example of a should that we, you know, nobody knew why we did it. We just always did it that way. So we continued on from generation to generation.
Do you still do it that way?
I do not anymore. don't chop off the ends. We just season it with a lot of mustard and maple syrup in this sense. We're a maple syrup family. So, but it's just an example of, you know, how we often do things when we pull people together. You know, the rituals and the celebrations we have, take a moment. And if it's causing you a lot of stress, if it's making it so that you're more focused on that than you actually are in, you know, in the event itself, you know, and what you want to get out of it, then it's not helpful to you. So step back and take a look at that should and see if it's serving you or if it's something that you can let go of so that you can be doing other things that are more helpful.
I think this is probably really interesting for young families and new couples that are coming together and especially blended families, because they both sides bring their own shoulds to the table. And then, you know, you have your traditions and so on that you want to keep up, but that other person has their traditions as well. So I guess at that point, you need to manage the shoulds between the couples and find the best route.
Absolutely. And maybe that's why it's come to mind. I mean, we've had a couple of weddings with our children in the last few years. And now all of a sudden there's more sets of grandparents and more sets of in-laws in there. And, you know, where do we go Christmas Day? How do we include everybody, right? We want to include both sets of families. So those are the things that often really stress us out. And funny that you say that, because shoulds, one of the reasons why we look at them is because they really do impact the relationship we have with others. So we want to make sure that when we're choosing with awareness. So one of the ways of looking at these shoulds, they tend to come in three sort of different categories. We have shoulds about acceptance, and that's about that need to be liked and accepted and belong, or the fear of rejection. There's always two sides to a should. So we often do things, you know, think back to your teenage years. Did you do some things with your peers that maybe you weren't quite so proud of just to be accepted into the group, right? So it's the same thing with families. We want to make sure that we're accepted. We want to make sure that we're not rejected by them. So we have shoulds in those areas. There are achievement shoulds. Shoulds, you know, achievement ones where we actually want to make sure that we're doing well, right? The need to succeed, or again, a fear of failure. So are we doing something? Are we not taking chances or opportunities because we're afraid we're going to fail in there? Or we don't know if we're going to succeed? So there's achievement shoulds in there. And the last one is control. And boy, is that a big one in our family. And remembering that I work with people who run their own show all the time, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Control is about a deep need to be in control, or that fear that things aren't going to be okay if you lose control. So you said you're a planner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm a planner and a worrier. So when you put two together, boy, you know, there's a lot of control shoulds in there. So it's stepping back and first becoming aware of them. So dealing with these shoulds, there's sort of a four-step process. And anybody who's ever done workshops with me will know the first step is always about awareness. No matter what you do, you can't change anything that you're not aware of. So the first step is just looking inside and becoming aware of a should in there. And then saying, you know, just fall into one of those categories. Is it about acceptance, achievement, control? And if it is it serving me well? Because there are some things that we want to do. I mean, you and I are probably always going to gather for a meal, right, with our families. It's an important thing for us. It just really resonates. So that's a good should, right? But if it's not serving you well, then you need to look at whether you can let it go or not. Because what it does, and this is the fourth one, we need to look at choices. And it's all about flexible thinking. A lot of resiliency comes from just being able to see the options that are there and choose with awareness. And shoulds tend to be all about rigid thinking, thinking that doesn't change. So if we can become aware of them, and if it's something that's not helpful to us, if we can ease, you know, let that go and set it aside, it will open up lots of other possibilities. And that's flexible thinking. And it's a huge resiliency skill that, you know, can help lower the stress around this time of year.
We've always had traditions in my family, and I can remember them, you know, some that we had when I was a young child, we still do, and we do in my home as well. Should we at some point speak to our kids and so on and say, listen, this is the way that we do things. But when you're in your own place, when you have your own family, you'll be able to choose what you want to do. You can take some of this stuff that we do, but you'll be able to choose what you want to do. Like, and this sounds funny, but one of the things that comes to mind is every Christmas Eve, since the movie came out, my brother and I watched A Christmas Story. Okay. That is, and I still watch it to this day. And I tried to get my wife's children on board with this, and they watched it a couple times, but they didn't have the same love of it as I did. And, you know, it wasn't like, okay, here it is. Tonight's the night we're watching A Christmas Story and so on. They'd be like, can we watch Elf or whatever? You know, they didn't understand the significance. And that was my own thing. So I stepped away from that, and I just forced my wife to watch it with me, which worked well. My brother, though, his kids embraced it. And every year they looked forward to it, and they couldn't wait to watch Ralphie on Christmas Eve or whenever they did it. You know, so I guess a lot of it is recognizing what you can impose, if you will, and realizing that when it doesn't work, that you need to sort of shift things, but also letting your kids know that they have some sort of control over how they want to celebrate and mark occasions.
Absolutely. I mean, you just summed it up right there. You have such a good knack for doing that. You know, and it really is. And like you said, you're combining all sorts of families and all sorts of traditions and pasts and everything. So it's opening up those conversations and having them and seeing what is important to people, right? You can still stand up and say, you know what, this is really important to me. This piece is going to happen. And you found a unique way to do that. It doesn't have to involve everybody, but you still found a way to include that important piece in your world. And so that's what it's really about. It's about opening up, looking at what you consider important. And a lot of it is morals and ethics in there as well. And those traditions, those little rituals, you know, watching that movie with your brother, you know, that is part of what helps solidify that foundation in your, you know, the family that you grew up in as well. So if that's really important, then you let people know, you know, and people can learn to embrace your things too. But like you said, it has to be something that you know, really resonates and is important to people. So have those conversations.
Excellent. Well, Jane, this was a very interesting chat, as they always are. And we always appreciate you joining us. Now, I wanted to make sure that people know that there's several different ways that they can get more information about all the wonderful things that Early On is doing and Crow. So please tell people the best way to get in touch with you and to also learn more about what you offer.
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page called Crow Parent Education, and that lists all the workshops that are coming up in the evenings and during the days. We have one-on-one chats, and you can message me through that Facebook page as well. If you just have something that you want to talk about, your child's development, something you're concerned about, the programs that we're having, you can also call the office, and you'll reach Jen, our fabulous receptionist and office manager there, and it's 613-283-0095, and just go to zero and you'll find her, and she can let you know what's going on, and she can link you up with all the other staff that we have that are running playgroups. We've got lots more inside playgroups now, and we now have the ability at some of those to allow children to start mingling together. Adults still need to be masked, you know, and everything is following COVID protocols, but it's really nice to be able to see kids being able to play together a little bit more. That's an important thing. So, and as always, our website is Crow Lanark, Crow like the bird, crowlanark.com. And you can go there and find all sorts of information and links to everything we do.
Excellent. Well, Jane, thanks again for being here. We look forward to our next conversation before Santa comes. So we are, I'm sure we'll have more great things to talk about then. So I really appreciate you being here.
And what a great time of year when you're really a kid at heart, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jane, thanks so much. We'll talk again.
Take care.
Our guest today on In Focus, Jane Paul from Early On. We've been talking about early childhood education for both kids and parents, this time from a perspective of shoulds. Very interesting. Now, tomorrow, it's our weekly local COVID-19 update with Leeds Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Paula Stewart. You don't want to miss that. You can also submit your questions for Ask Dr. Stewart to info@lake88.ca before 10 a.m. tomorrow. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful afternoon.